for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, May the 27th, 1983. Memorial Weekend Deliverance and Teaching Seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Bill Smith of Fort Worth, Texas, is the teacher of the morning.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be in this great camp meeting. We're so grateful for what God is doing today. We're grateful to see how God is delivering and setting His people free today. And we are so grateful for Glenn and Irma. They have been to our place with us and our convention there. And Sister Laurel Cook is here this morning. I don't know if there's others that has been there to our place in Fort Worth, Texas. I'm Bill Smith. I pastor Fellowship Temple in Fort Worth, Texas. And as well as we travel across the United States and across foreign countries. And God has been so good to us. And I've been teaching this gospel of the kingdom now for about 21 years. And God has helped us in the last few years. We've established several churches in Mexico. We built 6 new ones and built a children's home in Mexico. And so God's really been good to us. We not only support the churches and the pastors there, but we're teaching them to become self-supporting in case they run me out of Mexico, Brother Glenn. They can continue to carry on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I am grateful for what God is doing today. And to see God delivering and setting free, because this is what it's all about. Brothers and sisters, God wants you and I to be set free from all bondages of corruption, from every spirit, that we can come into the fullness and to the finality that God has in store for you and I. And I was just thinking, as I seen different ones being set free last night. A few months ago, I was in Mexico and ministering into one of our churches there in an area that had a lot of witchcraft and witch doctrine and all of this stuff back there in the jungles was being carried on. And so all of a sudden, I stood up to minister, and I can't speak the language well enough to minister in depth that I want to, so I minister through an interpreter. I have 2 daughters, and both of them speak Spanish fluently, and one is bilingual. She's my daughter's teaching school. She just graduated from teaching school, and she's bilingual. And so we praise God for that. But anyway, all of a sudden, there was a lady trembling because the crowd had got so large. Until we were just out under the stars, there was the building was no longer large enough for the meeting. So we just moved out under the stars, and we had a little power plant running, and we stretched out electric lights, and then we had some Coleman lights burning on farther out into the congregation there. All of a sudden, there was a lady come running on her hands and knees and barking like a dog, just right down through the dirt. And so the interpreter, he was about scared half to death. He said, "What do we do now?" And I said, "Brother, we're going to deliver her, set her free, and we're going to have church. Come on, folks, we have talked a good game, but now God is calling for demonstration." Now, Paul said, "I didn't come to you in man's wisdom, but he said, I come to you in power and demonstration." Now, I believe that, sometimes I get too much emotional. The brother, the Bible said, body exercise profit a little. And if they don't do anything else, it'll help you get rid of author, writer. All right. So, all of a sudden, come running down through there, and so he was scared half to death. And brother, I want you to know, God helped us and we delivered that woman. God filled her with the Spirit. And today we have started a church in a brush arbor in her village, in where she's at there in Old Mexico. So you see, God is doing a great work today in the land. God's doing a work throughout the whole land today. And God is getting you and I ready for His finality. Amen. Then I want to say again, we had a boy that we had built a church in Cajapita, which means a pine box. There was nothing there but a Catholic church. So God had moved upon us to build a huge church there in Conopinta so that we could bring all the other churches in, because this was the end of the pavement. So that vehicles could get there if it come a hurricane or whatever the rain was, they could still come into this church. So we built this church quite large so that we could have convention campaigns like this in Mexico. So we got this built, and the Catholic, they fought us tooth and toenail. They said, we don't want none of this here, the Iglesia Aleluya here in Mexico. We don't want none of this here. So then there was a little old mentally retarded boy that he didn't understand anything, you know. And so we would start service, and he would get out there, and he would just do everything imaginable. So we began to minister to this boy, to reach him. We began to cry out to God to give us some way. And the only way that I could reach him, because he couldn't understand Spanish, couldn't understand English, so I said, I'm just going to just love him. Just love him. And I shall never forget. We were just loving, and I drove up there in my camper and pickup, and this little fella, he met me down the road. He wanted to ride the rest of the way to the church. So I stopped and picked him up and took him to the church. His mother came there, and she whipped him right in the back of the tent for coming to the church. She beat him, so then he slipped off her mother again. He came back to the church again. Mother came back down to the church the next night, and she got him, and she beat him again for coming to the church of the Iglesia Aleluya. And so because they don't want none of this being delivered and set free. So then the next night in the service, he came again, knowing that he was yet going to be beat. I would grab that little fellow, Brother Glenn, and I would just love him in my arms. Then he'd come and sit by anybody that went up to sing. He'd just go up and he'd look at him and he'd go, ah, 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 and they just ignore him, just go and sing anyway. That mother in Mexico, the third time, you see, you don't get the beating, you get the earlobe in Mexico. That's the custom. Got him by the earlobe and drug him right on out of the church. The next night, that little fellow came in, but not only did he come in, but he brought his mother, and his mother was set free. Brother and sister, this is the God that we're preaching today. I want you to know that God wants to bring his people that they can receive the fullness that God has in store for them. But many of God's people today don't want to get the house ready so that God can fill it up. But listen, folks, God's not going to fill it with his fullness in the condition that the house is in. So God's getting the house ready that he can fill it with the goodness. We look at the temple of Solomon. We see when the courts and all the gates were hung, and then the priests couldn't even stand and minister because of the anointing of God that filled the place. And so this is what God is doing today for you and I. And I was sharing this morning with a brother at the breakfast table. Went into far jungles. It took us something over 4 hours. I'm not Evel Knievel, but I can ride a motorcycle pretty good. Back in those jungles, couldn't get no car, nothing in there, just burro trail. Get back into those jungles, and we went in there because there were some people that said, they're crying out for God, and there's nobody to bring them the word of the Lord. I may drive a brand new Cadillac in the United States, but brother, in the foreign field, I ride and drive anything I can get a hold of. Went back into these jungles, and for 2 days and 2 nights, so poor, just hardly no clothes on the people. Go back into this jungle, dying for the need of God in their life. Went into this jungle, and for 2 days and 2 nights, I had a tortilla and an egg that yellow was supposed to be yellow, but it was black as tar, black as my boots I've got on. I said, God, you said in your word, eat what is set before you. Now, Lord, I'm going to take it down, and I'm expecting you to help me keep it down. Brother, we began to go in there and to minister the gospel of the kingdom to those people. People said to me, said, Brother Smith, you're going to choke them to death. They can never live through that word that you're bringing them. But brother, if they don't know tradition and they don't know a lot of the hang-up that you and I have had to leave hung up, brother, I want you to know we can teach them to walk with God, and it's easy we can teach them to walk in tradition. And so they didn't know anything, so you might as well start out right, because so many times you and I have to go out on the backside of the desert to be untaught what we've been taught. So today we have built a new church in that jungle. Today you can go there and you can get anything that you want to eat. Why? Because, brother, this gospel will bring you into the blessings of God that you can receive from the Lord. It's our Father's good pleasure to give unto you and I the kingdom today. He is more willing to give than we are to receive. But brother and sister, God is not going to restore you and I in the fullness, in the fallen state that we are in. Praise God for the people that is willing to build a structure, as we're seeing here in Lake Hamilton and Hot Springs, Arkansas, that is willing to suffer and to give all of their earnings and everything to see a soul-saving station, a clinic, as it were, in the spirit, that a one-stop that people can come and be delivered and set free and go forth into the kingdom of our God today. Thank God for it. So, you see, we're very busy, but I thank God that He's kept us very busy. I want us to start this morning. Now, my wife tells me at home, I went and talked to Brother Glenn. My wife tells me at home, she says, you don't never look at your watch. She says, I'm going to go to the office and I'm going to start waving a calendar because the day's going to pass. She teased me about that. But we want to obey the Lord this morning and share with you what God has shared with us. So let's start at the first verse of the first chapter of our book. Let's look into the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, brother and sister, I know that I live in a metroplex that the great soap opera that so many got so thrilled over of doubt. But I am here to say to you and I today, every last one of us has got some area in our life that's got to be dealt with. Now, I know that there are every level within this congregation here this morning. Some is not going to be able to accept and to receive what I have to say, but I pray that God will help us to flow together and flow in the balance. But, brother, I know that Dallas is not the only one that's got the back 40. Whether you're in the 34, the 64, or you're headed for the 100-fold, you may be 80%, but there's 20 acres of your life that God has got to work in yet to bring us in. So, you see, there is some area of our life that's got to be dealt with by God. All right, the Bible says here that it was void. And if you please, it became void. All right? But notice the first thing. The Spirit of the God moved upon the face of the deep, of the water. Then let's notice what He said. Brother, if the Spirit of God doesn't move in your life, you're not going to hear Him speak. It moved upon the face of the water, and then the next thing we said, and God said, let there be light. If there is no light, there will be no life. So then God moved upon the face of that earth that had became void, which was the same word in the original, that where Lot's wife became the pillar of salt. I have never seen anything go out from the hand of our Creator that was not perfect yet. It became in the ruin that it was. We look at the man with the withered arm. Now, brother, it's an impossibility for a withered hand, a withered arm, for him to stretch it forth. People say, well, Brother Smith, God don't never tell you to do anything that you can't do. God will always tell you to do what you can't do, naturally. That man, it was an impossibility for stretch forth that withered hand, but God said stretch it forth. And the Bible said it became whole as the other one. So now the Spirit of God is moving upon the face of the deep within mine and your life to restore us into divine order and to bring us into due order that God is calling for in this end time that we are living in today. Now, the Spirit moved, and then God said. Then let's turn over into the 26th verse. Then we see how that God said, verse 26, said, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And notice, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God said, bless them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Alright, we see that word that God created Adam. And if you please, there was a conference that was going on in the Godhead at that time. There was no conference going on in the Godhead when God began to create the animals. But then when he began to create humanity, the highest of God's creation, that God wanted to commune with and fellowship with, and then they began to, the conference began to take place. And brother and sister, the Bible teaches us in St. John chapter 4, verse 24, says that God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So you and I know that many times we can't see a spirit, we can only see the result of the spirit. But brother and sister today, notice he said he was going to make us in his likeness and image. So Brother Glenn, there had to be humanity to bring forth the image because God is a spirit. Now I want to point out to us this morning that even before that God said, let there be light in the heart of our Father, God had a predestination plan. God had a plan of redemption. That because Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world, according to Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. But now, Adam was placed in this garden to have dominion. Now, I want to say something while we're dealing on these creeping things. The enemy knows that you and I are too smart today. People looking for the enemy to jump up with a pitchfork. No, he's too subtle for that. He'll come in creeping down. Creeping in. This is why that we have to be as wise as a serpent and as harmless as a dove today. Now, let's notice as we go on here. Alright, so then God said he was going to send man to make him an image. Alright, then God formed Adam and so on. Alright, but then he placed him in the garden. And if you please, Adam fell under every favorable condition working for him. Adam was placed there as a living soul. God is wanting to redeem you on a higher level and a higher plane of life than Adam had in the garden. Adam was placed in the garden as untested, unproven, as a living soul. Adam had breathed the very, in his very nostrils, the very breath of our God. And brother and sister, he fell under all of those favorable conditions. I'm seeing the same thing in the earth today when God said he's going to supply every need, and if God be for us, who can be against us? Who can lay us hard to God's elect? And yet we are still falling for the trace of the enemy. But brother, we've got to come under this tree that will no longer fall for his sake. All right? Then let's notice how many of us have received a word from God. Every one of us, sometime or other, has received a word from God. Over 20 years ago, I received a word from God and said, thou art a Joshua. Thou shalt lead my people over the Jordan. And by the help and grace of God, I've been working toward that end, Brother Graham, from that day till this day. Many times, we get weary. But brother, about that time, I begin to seek to get a hold of the life of God. And I'll tell you, then it erases everything that caused me to become weary. Now, here is Adam in the garden. Fell. Fallen nature. Then, let's go now over to chapter 3. And let's look here. Here is, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God seen? Now, brother and sister, there were some people that sought deliverance and got deliverance like you. But I want to say something to you. How many remembers the woman in the Bible when that she had been delivered and the enemy came back and saw that her house was swept and garnished? He brought 7 more that was more vile than he was and moved in. Why did he do that, Brother Smith? I'll answer your question. Because the woman was idle and she had not done nothing within her house. It was swept and gone. Some of you this morning, no doubt the enemy come against you and said, look, you didn't get anything like none. But brother, I'm here to tell you today that if God delivered you and set you free tonight, you are still delivered today and you walk in that freedom that God has given you. But the every time it just like it comes that God had already spoke to Adam and Eve and said, look, don't you eat of that tree of good and evil. In the day that you do, you shall die. But then here is Eve, she's sitting there and quietly listening until the enemy are challenging the word of God. Yea, hath God said. Was that a word from God or was that Glenn Miller that gave me that word? Was that a word from God or was that Wynn Worley that gave me the word? Yea, hath God said. Brother and sister, today it's time for you and I to arise in the delegated authority that God has given us and take the word of God and put the enemy in his place. Alright? Notice more stuff than any other beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said unto the woman, yea, hath God said? You shall eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree of which is the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. And ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. All right? Now notice, this is what happened from the fall. All right, now let's skip on a little further over here into the word of the Lord. Now in verse 7. All right, they had eaten of the tree of good and evil. The eyes of them both were open, and they knew not that they were naked. And they sewed fig, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. God is not going to take none of man your self-righteousness to cover our sin. It's not going to work. This is why that God rejected Cain's sacrifice. Because God demanded a blood sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So then we see something here in this first evangelistic message is preached here in the book of Genesis, where that God himself slays innocent lambs that had knew no sin, had committed no sin, and clothed guilty sinners. That's what the lamb did for you and I. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Alright? Then let's notice again. So skip on down until the 14th verse. The Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle. Above every beast of the field upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. That is all that he's going to get. Isaiah says the dust is the serpent's meat. All right? Then let's notice something again, and here's where the fight comes in. God begins to prophesy to the fallen race. And I will put enmity between thy seed and her seed. This enmity means hostile. I will cause the war to be against the serpent's seed and the seed of the woman. All right? And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and in conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Then we see the ground is cursed and everything. But I want to point out to us right now before we go any further. We see that the kingdom was lost in the garden. But brother, again in another garden where that Jesus Christ himself removed the gate. In the Garden of Gethsemane, I want you to know that the kingdom was bought back again. Brother, it was won by the seed of man, the seed of God, but brother, it was also won back by the seed of God in another garden, the Garden of Gethsemane. And brother and sister, this is where God is bringing us today. Now, Adam had control and supposed to have dominion over the garden. God told Adam to subdue the garden and to keep. Like God was saying to Adam, you be a wall. You see this wall right here? We don't see none of our automobiles or anything that's out there. Because this wall includes everything that's inside of here and excludes everything on the outside. But the first thing that the Adamic race does, and you and I will say the same thing, the first thing that Adam said to God, it's not me, it's the woman that you gave me. Pass the buck. Pass the buck. It's not me. If it wasn't for Brother Glenn, I want you to know I could be a matured son today. Ray Bones, when you're the one that you look into the mirror, that is your problem. The one that I saved this morning was my problem. And if the enemy comes into my life, brother, that is the only way because that I allowed him to intrude and to come in. So now, he was placed, Lord, over the garden. But brother and sister, God wants to make you and I king and Lord over this earth in a higher dimension than Adam was in the beginning. But brothers and sisters, many of us today, we're faltering with all favorable conditions working for us. Now let's notice something again. Verse 24. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. I don't know if you've ever been into a big county jail. I went into our big county jail to see a man in Fort Worth 2 or 3 years ago. I stood in this little star there, the man that was going up. I had to show them that my ministerial license and everything even to get into the county jail. Because the chaplain says we just don't let any and everybody come into this place. So I stood in this here door. And I walked out, he said, step out there on that star, and then that other guard will look through that little peephole. He'll match those hydraulic, those switches that open those hydraulic doors and let you on through. But brother, when I passed through those doors, and you talk about those doors closed hydraulically, brother, they go together like that. And I can just see as Adam and Eve, as they were falling. And by the way, there were no children born in the Garden of Eden. Everyone were born outside of that fallen nature. And this is where God is recovering and redeeming us unto him, that there is no trace of whatsoever of the fall in you and I. This is why you're being delivered and cleaned up, because there's not going to be no evidence of the fall in you and I when God gets through with that. Now, brother, there's a keyhole in that door out there. Now, this might be exaggerating a bit, but brother, God can pull you through that keyhole if you can stand the pull. And he's going to pull you and I into this if we will stand the pull. All right? But now let's notice something. Those gates have clung together. But, brother, before this meeting is over with, I hope to show you how that God has brought us into the position that we're in Revelation chapter 21, and, Brother Glenn, we are there at the gates opening and closing them for the kingdom of God. Now, they have been opened. They have been closed, and the flaming sword is there to God. And this is the flaming sword. And this is where God is dealing with us now. All right, now let's notice as we go on here. Turn with me into Matthew chapter 4, and let's look here at a word. All right, we see where that Adam and Eve were driven from the garden. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, I want to say to every one of us today, there is none of God's people that is going to escape the wilderness. Every last one of us are going into the wilderness, but that's no sign that we have to live there all the days of our life. The Bible says in the Song of Solomon, says, who is this coming up out of the wilderness with the smoke and with the powers of the merchant man? Brother, we are coming up out of the wilderness, and we're going to be leaning upon our beloved, which is the Son of God, because he is the captain of the host. He is the one that's going to bring you and I through this wilderness. The church is in the wilderness now, if you please. And I want to clear up something that somebody said to me last night, and I hope I didn't confuse too much. He said, Brother Smith, don't you believe that Jesus is going to return for his church? And I said, oh, definitely so. Definitely so. Because I was talking about the overcomers. And they thought that I didn't mean that Jesus was going to have a glorious church without a spot, a blemish, or a defect of any kind. Listen, folks. God's going to get all of the spots. The wrinkles speak of things that was of age in the former days that you and I come to. All right, the spots, the wrinkles, and the blemishes. Now, brother, there's never been an hour in my 21 years of ministry that I've not seen the earth so filled with rotten doctrine that's filled the earth with today. God is bringing a people that will flow out into the body of Christ today into the infected zone and bring healing to the body. Brother, there's been much ministry. It's just like the prophet, you know, they would have the axe, and it was a borrowed axe. You remember the story? And the blade fell off and went into the water. The prophet took a stick and began to stir the water, and the axe swam. Remember the scripture? Brother and sister, there's a lot of people today in ministry. They don't know that the axe has come off, and they're frailing the people to death with the handle. And we've got to bring healing to the body of Christ. All right? Now, led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, sometimes you and I are led by the Spirit into the wilderness, but we leave two heel marks all the way behind us. Isn't this true? It is the truth. Only this year, after walking in this kingdom walk now for 21 years, only this year could I walk out and I say, God, pour all me that you think that I need of. Before, I was grumbling about the trials and tribulations and the persecutions. But now I said, God, you know that I need it, and you know all that I can stand, and I know that you're faithful in every place that you bring me into. So now pour it on me and bring me into the level and the dimension that you're bringing out in my life. And he's going to do it. He's going to do it. But I've had pity parties. I've went into my study, and I've laid out there on the list, as it were, how that the people had done me, and how that the world had done me, and how that I had just driven my life and laid down my life and for the mission field and for the work at home and in traveling across the United States. And about that time, there would be a surge of glory that would come into my being. And brother, I'd tie up that sheet where the suffering was, because the glory had so surpassed the suffering that I didn't even think about it no more. Hallelujah! I want you to know, if it gets any better than it is now, I'm going to have to hunt me a higher heaven to get into. Hallelujah. Because, brother, this is a day when God is restoring unto you and I, hallelujah, everything of the fallen humanity, and God is going to restore unto us the years that taught you and I and brought us bounded. Hallelujah. I know I'm supposed to teach, but I tell you, I can't help it sometimes. Ezekiel said it's like a wheel in the middle of the wheel. Jeremiah says it's like fire that's shut up in my bones. And that's exactly where it feels sometimes. Hallelujah. All right. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. I want you to know, I have arrived. I am a son. This is my card. And this is what I do. Hogwash. God's not interested in none of that. We want to prove our place where we are in God. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. What was his biggest problem? Brother, he was hungry. He'd been there for 40 days and 40 nights. 40 days and 40 nights means divine testing. The flood was upon the earth 40 days, 40 nights. Moses went into the mouth of God 40 days, 40 nights. Hallelujah. But now, Moses. But he answered and said, it is this. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. A minister come to me about 20 years ago. He said, I'll tell you what, son, said, when you get a little older, he said, you'll cool down. He said, you need to get you 5 messages that you can really preach and you can memorize and you go out and tell the world. How backslidden can we get? Brother, there's a fresh word that's proceeding out of the mouth of God every day that you and I live. Brother, there's fresh grinding at the millstone every day that you and I live. What happens? Oh, I don't live a bit alone. How many of you and I have repurposed and look, I'm going to start my fast Monday morning, and brother, Monday morning would be the hungriest day of your life. Come on, I've been through that. It'd be the hungriest day of your life, but you decided you wasn't going to fast, you could go all day and not get hungry. But brother and sister, you see, but while he was so bound to the word of God, but many times we want to declare where we're at, and brother, we're coming to the place that we're going to be bound to the word of God, and we're going to do nothing less than to obey what the word of the Lord says. Now what did he say? It's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You see, he don't give up easy. He don't give up. Here he comes again. All right. Then the devil taketh him into the holy city, setteth him on a pinnacle in the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For what? Start quoting the word now. In the Psalms, it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Start quoting the word. Come on, folks. Brother and sister, I want you to know he can quote it, but he can't live by it. He can't live by it. Because why? He tears his kingdom down. All right, now let's notice again. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into a city high mountain, showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now, do you see how that Jesus knew, this last Adam knew that for this purpose he came into the world to lay his life down for humanity. He said, for this cause came I into the world. So therefore, he was not going to accept no lie from the devil. Because, brother, he knew that he came down to here to lay his life. He became a man, obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, for you and I. All right, we see now that first Adam, we see how that the mark was laid upon him. Here was when death came in. There, behind Adam's life, before he was ever driven from the garden, there was no heredity of death. He didn't live so many years and die. Brother, he was living there with the breath of God in his very being. He had no father that lived so many years, no heredity of death. He was placed there, a living soul. But brother, when he was driven from that garden in that fallen nature, and then death set in, not only physically, but spiritually. Now, if thou fall down and worship me. Now, let's notice again. Turn with me over into 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and let's look here at a word. Paul lays us out here for examples that you and I don't fall for the same example that Israel fell for. Paul goes there in verse 1. He said, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the Red Sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual rock, for they drink of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." And that rock was Christ. Now do you see where we were talking last night? The way of an eagle in the air, the swiftness that flies above the problem, that will even the characteristics of an eagle will go down and get an old snake right behind its head there and fly into the heavenly pool, that oxygen over their eyes, and look down to the earth for a sharp object, and then drop his enemy right on that sharp object and watch him splatter. But many times you and I, when the enemy offers us something, we accept it. Many times I say, "Look, this is not a garbage dump here, and I don't receive anything you've got, because I've been bought by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am his, and there's no dumping here." Hallelujah. All right? This rock was Christ. Now, I want us to look into the 15th chapter now of 1 Corinthians. And let's look here and pick up a scripture. 15, verse 22. "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Now, brother and sister, today, I am being made alive today. There are areas in my life that has been off limits that I have actually reserved to myself, and you have the same. There have been things that you did not want to turn loose of. There have been areas that you didn't want to let God to go into your house and look all the rooms over. You had some rooms with a padlock on it. And say, "You can't come into this area of my life." But brother and sister, today, when we look at the parable in the book of Luke, when Jesus bought the whole field, brother and sister, he bought the pearl of great price. He bought the whole entire field. And that's what he's doing today. He is redeeming you and I unto God. Now, I believe in the anointing with oil. The type of the Spirit. But I want to show you something in Psalm 133. "Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." It's like the precious ointment that was put upon the head, that ran down the beard and ran down the skirt of the garment. Brother and sister, today God wants to take his body, not just with that little dab that we anoint you with, but brother, that same anointing that was upon Christ, God wants to put it, it was upon the head, which Christ is the head of the church, and the Bible said that it ran down the priest and went all the way down the skirt of the garment. And brother, God wants that anointing oil to run down your body, hallelujah, that you can come into total bodily redemption unto God. You can be satisfied with a little bit if you want to. You say, "But Brother Smith, I'm going to be raptured out. But if you bought that ticket, the bus is not coming." You say, "Brother Smith, you ought not to curse like that." Well, I can remember when I lost my rapture. Sure. I can remember when I lost it. Yeah, 20-something years ago, I lost mine. Because the Bible doesn't say so. It doesn't say that the groaning and travail creation is waiting for a rapture. It said it's waiting for a manifestation of the sons of God, the showing forth of the sons of God. He said, instead of
shutting up, and it's time for us to put up.
All right. Now, I want to take us on a little further. Now, I know that we're going to be caught up in the Spirit. But, folks, there is a lot of people today that is looking for a translation. And the thing of it is, folks, you have already been translated. All right? Colossians 1:13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? Now, this is speaking of the first Adam. Now, brother, you said, but Brother Smith, I'm not of the first Adam. Adam sold you out in the garden. The whole Adamic race was sold out in the garden. Your first parents sold you out. But now what did he say? You've been delivered from under the power of darkness. You've been delivered out from under slavery of that darkness that was in the first Adam. And you've been translated now where? Into the last Adam. Translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. Now, look, have you been translated? I have been translated. Now, turn with me into the book of Romans, and let's look at Romans chapter 8, and let's see what this great Paul the Apostle is writing here. Romans, everybody got it? All right. Verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. In the original, that word children is sons. Been translated, been brought from, been delivered from the bondage of corruption. Brother, I heard it said this, that you can take a bough of apple and that you can put a rotten apple in there and the whole bough will become rotten. That is true. But now let me look at the other side of the coin. Brother, you can take a barrel of apples that has not a rotten spot on no apple and no place in that barrel, and guess what? They'll still become rotten just the same. You know why? Because that element of death is in that apple. And brother, that element of death that we receive from the fallen nature is in every one of us today, but God is wanting to restore us into a higher plane of his life, that bondage of corruption will be brought from you and I. Hallelujah. That's where God is bringing us today. Now, 7:24. Paul goes to verse 15. And, of course, I'm sure y'all don't have this problem in Arkansas, and I've met some in Louisiana. But in Texas, we have problems with this sometimes. Verse 15 of the 7th chapter. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would that I do, I do not. But what I hate, that do I. Do you ever have a problem like this? Huh? Brother, this is the work of the flesh. There is the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the Spirit, which is the nature of God. But then there is the work of the flesh. Now, Paul is having a discovery. I have had a discovery. And there was a day in my life, because I was the only grandson for all of those years, and when I went to my grandmother's house, my grandmother would run and she would just pick me up and love me, and all she would tell me how good that I was. And that just thrilled me to no end. But brother, today I want you to know there are times that I literally don't like what I see in my being. Because brother and sister, you are saved, you are being saved, and you're going to be saved. And brother, God is delivering us from ourselves today. You've been saved from sin, you've been saved from the world, and now you're being saved from yourself. Hallelujah. Now you said, Brother Smith, I don't know about that. Well, you see, I can deal with this any area in the Bible if you want to go to. I'll just pick up one right now. How many remember King David, a man after God's own heart? A man that danced before the presence of the Lord. Now, what we're just taking this verse this morning, I want you to listen real carefully.
If you don't understand what we're talking about this morning, David, King David, was married to Michelle, who was the daughter of King Saul, who was married to a king. You can't get much better pedigree than that. But brother, one day, Saul, in the 40 years of his reign, he never inquired of the Lord. Read the Bible. Never one time did he ever inquire of the Lord for the whole 40 years of his reign. The first thing that David, when he became king, what did he do? I want the presence of God. I'm craving the presence of God. So David sent down to bring up the ark, and he didn't bring it up in due order, so therefore it brought death. But brother, here was old David. He was dancing, and the concord said he would jump a little bit and then just turn around. He jumped a little bit and turned around. So that's the absolute thing. Okay, Michelle remembered. She was sitting up there looking out her window, and she said that David stripped himself, and I know that you think that he stripped naked, but brother, he never stripped naked. He pulled off that kingly robe that he was wearing. He said, I am not the king of this mountain. The Lord Jesus Christ, the presence of God, is going to be the king of this mountain. He pulled off that kingly robe. She looked after him, and she made fun of him. And the Bible says that she went to her death child. She never gave birth to a child. And brother, that was a reproach in that day for the child. She went to her death. So brother, what I'm saying to us this morning, if you don't understand this great move of God and you don't want to flow in it, don't you make fun of it, because brother, it'll bring seriously bring death upon you. Oh, hallelujah to God. But Michelle, she had a great pedigree. But a daughter of no end. Brother and sister, today, this is the same thing I've been saying to our churches throughout the land as I've been traveling. We're up in the Northwest 2 weeks ago. Up in the state of Washington, Sunnyside, Washington, and over. Ministering 2 weeks. Last week it was the ministry convention in Monroe, Texas. And here this week. Day after day, I want you to know, in eras this has only become a wind of doctrine. And it's going to be a wind of doctrine until somebody will step out there in the feet of God and will walk it out in shoe leather today. I'm sick and tired of hearing what we're going to do. Let's do it. Let's do it. Brother, it's time for you and I to come forth in the place that God has chosen and destined for us to come into. All right? Now, let's look in a little further. Now, here we look here that Paul is doing the things that he didn't want to do. Verse 20. For if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. How many of you, since you've been filled with the Spirit, that you've never sinned? Raise your hand. If you do, I'm going to come back and help you get it down. Because listen, folks, either the sin of omission or the sin of commission, we're guilty one way or the other. We're guilty. And this is the element that God is dealing with in our lives. Jesus Christ himself, as he became humanity, he became very man, but yet he never ceased of being very God. He walked in this earth, he never had to recall a word that he spoke. He never had to retrace a step that he stepped. He said, he was God. He was man. He became man. He was a God man. What do you think that God wants to make out of you today? A God man. Father God's raising up the people that's going to walk in that 3.5 year ministry that Jesus walked upon the face of the earth. Hallelujah. All right. Now let's notice. Paul said, it's sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the end of man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. Paul had a discussion. Today, will you and I have this discussion? That there is another force that is trying to work in mine and your life. It's just like you would have thought that I denied the virgin birth. I was preaching in New York, up there in Elam Bible Institute. And I was preaching it because, you see, I had been so rotten and mean because, you see, I buried two of my children in 1 week. And I became so rotten and so hard and no good. I was no good to my wife. I was no good to nothing. I was useless, worthless, no account, became a drunk. And I'm not proud of that today. But, brother, I want you to know one night, all going on 25 years ago, I went to that altar and I said, God, I want to tell you something tonight. I am not leaving here until you fix me up. You know why that I left? Because people always talked about doing so much and did nothing, and they were always going to fly away. I could never understand why God was raising up an army and then fly away. Come on, God's raising up deliverers. He's raising up people in Zion that's going to roar the word out of Zion and utter it into Jerusalem, the church. Every day they come and say, oh, Billy, say, you're doing fine. Say, you're doing fine. Just wait till Jesus comes. I got so sick and tired of that penny till I said, I want no more of it. And I walked out of it. But then the devil kept telling me, said, look, you can't get saved because you sinned the Holy Spirit. And there's no forgiveness for you in this world, neither in that in which you will. Come on. And so I said, now, devil, I don't know nothing about the word, but I know one thing, you're so stupid and wrong there. Because if I sinned against the Holy Ghost, God wouldn't be present at my heart. Can you relate to me? When I was back as a teenager, brother, I would even try to be as mean as the rest of them, Kenny. I'd get in there, I didn't weigh about 165, 70 pounds. But I tried to be just as mean and go into the bar rooms and go into the restroom and go in there with three quarters drunk and go in there and go to praying. You know why? Because God said, son, I'm calling you for this end time, and all the time the Spirit of God never did turn loose in my heart. But I want you to know I knew that I was on my way to a devil's hell. And that night I said, God, I'm not leaving here till you fix me up. That night I was saved. That night I was filled with the Spirit. I stood to my feet and prophesied, and I never knew what prophecy was. I never knew nothing was going on. And then, brother, a few years ago, I was in Elam, New York, and they were saying, when you got an infilling of the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues, and brother, every last one of us needs to be speaking in tongues. I don't care if you're Catholic, if you're Baptist, or who you are, you still need the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But now, don't you graduate on just speaking in tongues, because the speaking in tongues is the most elementary office of the Holy Ghost there is in the land today. But everything that's in God is in residence in God. They got up there and they began to. And I said, well, I don't understand y'all. You're saying that you got, when you get filled with the Spirit, that's the ultimate. And by the way, God's not interested in Spirit-baptized Christians. God's interested in Spirit-filled Christians. There's too many that's baptized today instead of filled. And so, I said, I don't understand, y'all. Y'all told me that I arrived the first night, and I didn't even know how to sit in church. Come on. And I began to deal with Acts 2, and the day of Pentecost is fully coming, dealing with the elementary church. The church was in its baby stage, and you would have thought that I denied the virgin birth. Come on, folks. Let's go on. Let's go on. All right. Then notice what he said. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Brother and sister, today you and I are in process right now, as we are hungering and thirsting after God, that God is delivering you and I from this element that's bringing death to you and I, spiritually, physically, and financially. Hallelujah. But now, let's go on a little further. Turn with me over into the book of Revelation. I think we might have read this scripture last night. But now, I want to start in Revelation chapter 2. Praise the Lord. Now you remember, Adam and Eve were driven from the garden after they had struck of the tree of good and evil. God wouldn't let them be restored on that plane of corruption. That's why that you're seeing this ministry. It's moving out there with you and bringing deliverance to you. Because they want to see you set free. That you can walk where there is no corruption, no bondage, no spirit. Hallelujah to our God. Notice what he said. He that hath an ear, Now, God's not talking about make sure two flappers right here. Brother, your ear that's in your innermost being, he that hath an ear, singular, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Brother and sister, we're crying out today, to him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Brother and sister, I want you to declare to you today that when Jesus went to Calvary, when Jesus cried out that it's finished, I want you to know the gate of Eden was opened again. And brother, now if you overcome and you come through the Word of God and you live an overcoming life, then this brother, you're going to see Eden, oh, that tree of life. That tree of life, if you please, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. John chapter 14, verse 6 says this, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's his word. All right? Now, that overcomes. Through him, that overcomes. Now I see that we're supposed to quit when the Spirit quits, but we're going to go on farther. All right? Now, turn with me to Revelation chapter 12. This is a very controversial chapter. Many people say it's Israel, this woman. Some say it was Mary. But can somebody relate to me right now? And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. Oh, you mean it wasn't in the earth? A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. What does it say, Brother Smith? This here is showing that the moon, you see, is a reflection of the sun. Brother, I'm talking about the Eve after the flood. Brother, there is many women in the Bible, but there is, I don't care what their name is, one is a representative of the harlot system, and the other is a representative of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You said that, Brother Smith, there's a lot of hypocrites in the church. There won't be when he gets through with it, because there is only one church. I don't care what the shingle is hanging over the door, there is only one church, and it's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he gets through with it and purging it and refining it, there's not going to be no hypocrites in it. They're going out. Well, but you said, Brother Smith, I can't go to church because there's no perfect church. Well, there's none in the land yet. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm the father of two daughters that I'm very proud of. This lady told me one time, she said, well, Brother Smith, she said, a rooster is not much good if it can crow in his own fence. And I was real grateful for my girls and everything, because they've worked with us in the ministry and still working. One just preaches in Mexico in the Spanish language, and every time that I see her, I see a part of me. Not that I'm stuck on me, but oh, how that she's cried out to God, and the Word of God's been so planted in her life that she reveals God to those people in Spanish. And then stand up in our pulpit at home and work and preach in my place while I'm gone. Oh, it thrills me. But brother and sister, you see what I'm saying now? Here is this woman. She's clothed with the sun and the moon is under her feet. Oh, you remember, we look into the first chapter of the book of Genesis, and the Bible said he created two lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. And it's so obvious, but we're coming here in the 12th chapter book of Revelation, and we're seeing the same thing again. Brother and sister, what did he say? This is the fullness of God and the fullness of ministry. She's clothed with the sun. She's got the moon on her feet, and she's got the 12 stars, which is the government of our God. You say, what is 12, Brother Smith? Well, we start out in the first chapter of the book of Revelation, and we see seven. Seven is a number of perfection, but 12 is a number of perfection too. But sister, you can take seven and you can subtract three from it, which is world creation, which is the Trinity of God, body, soul, and spirit, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, or whatever you want to do it. Or the tabernacle, the courtyard, the holy place, and the holiest of holies. There's many places you can look. But, brother, when we come to 12, I want you to know, Sister Penny, this is 3 times 4 is 12. I want you to know that this is humanity, world creation, which is a number 4. And God is so mingled together 3 times 4 that you can no longer separate it. And that because God and man has begun to mingle together, and that the Christ in us, our hope of glory, is coming alive and in the big world, in the land today. Hallelujah. 3 times 4. Creation and the creature being mingled together. When you take something and you multiply it, you can't separate it. You take leaven, you put it in flour, you stir it up and you can't separate it out no more. It's there. All right. Now let's notice again. And she being with child, travailing in birth, pain to be delivered. My brother and sister, this is what I'm seeing today. Many times in our travels, we're seeing a church that's with child. But brother, I want you to know there are so many things that the church has need of today that they don't have the strength to birth forth this time. Come on. And brother, what does it say in many places? And said they brought forth wind. All right. And then Isaiah said it, the time of blasting and everything has come, and the mothers come time to bring forth a birth, but there's not strength to deliver. All right. But now let's notice something again. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the church, the woman is ready to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, brother and sister, today, I am here to tell you, as I read through you into the Word of God there, how that the Satan never bowed down. He come back and he approached Jesus at many times. And brother, he's standing before the church today to devour the child as soon as it's being born. It's up to you and I to deal with him now and to get him underfoot that we can destroy the very work of the devil in the earth and in you and I today. Hallelujah. But he's standing before the church to devour her seed as soon as she's been born. Now I want to say something again. While I was ministering, me, Kelly Varner, and D.C. McCurry, and Lynn Gitchell, and several of us were preaching a seminar in Tampa, Florida in February of this year. There's no time for us to stop. It just seemed like go, 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 go. And brother, I want to tell you something. I know that one day that this mortal is going to be followed up in life. But there's times right now that I get so tired that I can't even see the word when I come to the places to preach. And I say many times, God quicken me. And about that time, it seemed like there's a surge of his life coming to my very being. Brother and sister, the other day, I was returning from Mexico, and I was down below San Antonio, and I was so tired. I've been preaching day and night, and sometimes 3 services a day. I was by myself, and my wife and them was home getting ready for the convention. And so I said, God, I'm so sleepy. And I said, God, can you quicken me now? I need to get home. There's so many things I need to get ready for the convention, and I've got to get done. And I want you to know, Sister Penny, I was caught into a realm of glory. I never did know when I went around the loop in San Antonio. I never did know what happened. I wound up in San Marcos, Texas, on my way home. Why? Because there was a charge of God's life came into this mortal being of mine. And brother and sister today, that's the only thing that's going to drive out the death that's in all of us. Oh, hallelujah. You better stop now. It's not going to get no better. Hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! But brother, so many of us, it's just like when I was in business, had men working for me, and I'd ask them all the time, I don't know how that you could walk up to me and face me with your paycheck. Looks to me like you ought to back up like this, you know. But they were good help. But I'd tease them about it anyway. But many of us, we go into the presence of God, and they say, God, I'm unworthy, but I want it anyway. Bless your heart. You allow him to count you worthy. You're unworthy without him. But, brother, he can count you worthy today. Luke chapter 20, verse 35 and 36 says so. All right. Now, let's notice you. All right. Now, as I started saying, in Florida, there was a man stood up, and he said, God has already brought forth that man child. And I said, to myself, how can he figure that? I want to say something. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 45, first the natural and then the spirit. All right? Now, when we see a mother that's pregnant that's going to produce a child, when that mother eats, and that mother has to be very careful to eat certain things because it will make that baby sick. All right? When that mother eats, that baby eats. Is that right? Okay. I looked at this brother, and I said, brother, I appreciate you wanting to press and to pull this in. But brother, understand that the navel cord has not been clipped from the mother yet. She hasn't brought forth this man child. It has not been clipped. And when you're feeding the mother of the church, Paul said in Galatians chapter 4, verse 26, Jerusalem, which is above, is the mother of us all. All right? When she is eating, the son is eating. But one day, brother, if we'll bring the church into her place without a spot or blemish or wrinkle, she's going to be productive and she's going to bring forth that son. And this is one son that there'll be no diaper changing. This is one son that's going to be born that's going to rule the nation with a rod of iron. All right, now let's go on. Verse 5. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was called unto God and to his throne. Now, how many remember Samuel? How many remember Hannah and Peninnah? Elkanah had two wives, 1 Samuel chapter 1. And he loved Hannah very much. But the Bible said that God had shut up her womb. Now, but I want to tell you something about 20th century people. When the adversaries provoke them, it drives them from the house of God and still brings them to the house of God where they can get help. All right. So, every day, as it were, every 9 months, here is Peninnah. She's bringing forth a child to Elkanah. And so, of course, she provoked Hannah. She gives Hannah a lot of trouble about this situation. But all the time, Hannah went before God. And you know what was happening? There was an old backslidden priesthood that was dying off. The Bible says in the book of Leviticus that we're supposed to keep the lamp of God burning continually. And the Bible says there was just enough oil to make it through the night. And brother, I want you to know, he looked at Hannah. He said to Hannah, have you been drinking? That backslidden priesthood, you see, when we start talking about things like this here, they said, man, he's out of his mind. He fell out of his tree. He fell out of the well. But brother, I'm here to tell you today that we're not drunk. We're not drunk, but we're living on that new wine, the last wine that's being poured out in this end time. The fresh oil, the fresh anointing that God's bringing in this end time. He saved the last wine until now. This is not in your day, folks. Hallelujah. Can somebody raise their hand and tell me of any name of Peninnah's children? No hands raised because the name is not mentioned. There was what was happening. There was an old order that was dying off. That backslidden priesthood ministry was dying off. But brother, there was a little handmaiden, which was a type of the church. She was interceding, and she said, I don't want this no ordinary child, but give me a man child. And brother, everyone that's even in the little small class, the little people, they can tell us who his man is. Brother, the Bible said that he judged Israel for 40 years, and the Bible says that his name was Samuel, and the Bible says that not one of his words ever fell to the ground, and this is the generation. Brother, this old order system is dying out, but God's bringing forth a new order, a due order, for this day that's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of God. Hallelujah. Now, notice something. And the woman fled to the wilderness where she had a place prepared of God that they. Who is them they? That's the sons of God. Now, you and I, in many areas, we're doing the ministry of a son today. We're ministering to the churches in the wilderness. But, brother, one day, and I want you to know, in that great tribulation period, the sons is going to be ministering unto the church to bring her out of great tribulation. Brother, now let's look on down a little further. Now, all right, just feed her there 1,234 days. Now, brother and sister, that's 3.5 year ministry. 3.5 years. All right, that's the first half of the tribulation period. All right, then the sons, they feeding her there, ministering to her, protecting her, policing the earth, and taking care of her there for this 3.5 years. But now, how many remember over in Daniel chapter 12, and Daniel began to prophesy, and God told Daniel, says, close up the book, Daniel, seal it up. And Daniel goes to prophesy and says, Michael is going to stand up in the latter day. And brother, I want you to know, look at old Michael here. Notice what he said here. There was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against the angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And that great dragon was cast out. Notice something. So there'll be no mistake. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, which is cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And a drink of water. All right. Now, we see where that this man, Adam, the first Adam, was driven out of the garden. And brother, I don't want to brag on the devil. I want to give him no credit whatsoever. Because the Bible tells me in Romans chapter 16, verse 20, says that we're going to bruise him under our feet shortly. All right, but brother, look, somebody hadn't kept up the homework. We looked into the garden, and the Bible says he was a serpent. But brother, we're reading now in Revelation 12, this old serpent has become a dragon. He's grown. He's developed. He's got more authority. He's cometh in the earth. But, brother, you see why it's happened. No longer man was driven out of the garden in the Garden of Eden. But bless your heart, here is a company that's come forth in the end time, that, brother, that drives out the Satan. Hallelujah to our God. So man was drove out of the garden, but now generation has come and drove out the serpent, the old dragon. No longer is he the prince of the power of the earth. But he brought him down. Now notice what he said. And prevail not, neither was there place found for him anymore. The great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil. Satan, which deceived the whole world, but was cast out to the earth. His angel was cast out with him. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, who accuseth them before our God, and he works both shifts, day and night. He works both shifts. And brother and sister, do you see the company now that I'm talking about? Has no longer allowed him to grow and develop to become a greater dragon and a bigger dragon, but brother has removed him from his seat of authority, because the Bible says in the book of Revelation that we were going to know where Satan's seat is, and we're going to find him in every individual and in this world today, and we're going to bring him out. And we're going to see a growing and pervading humanity that's going to be set free from the bondage of corruption. Hallelujah. And we're going to see God's life minister unto them. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then, son, put the serpent out. But he put Adam and Eve out of the garden. Don't you want to rule and reign with our God? Then people come to me and they say, Brother Smith, who are them two witnesses over in Revelation chapter 11? Said, oh, Brother Smith, said, they're out there and said, they lay their lives down, but they're not buried, and they lay in the street for 3.5 days. The Bible says in the Old Testament and New Testament, a day is the Lord's 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. In Psalms and in Peter, says the same thing. Okay, now what have they done? They laid it down. And brother and sister, when you came to Lake Hamilton Bible Conference Camp, I want you to know you were a testimony. You come and you said you're laying your life down for the cause. Nothing else matters to me. People say, Brother Smith, don't you get caught up in the things around here? Nothing matters to me no more. Brother, everything that I have is just a means of an end. I want you to know I want nothing else except to bring forth the kingdom. Jesus said to his disciples that day, said, when you pray, pray that thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. My brother and sister, there is no curse in heaven. He said, where is heaven? It's above you. Depends on what heaven you're talking about. Paul was carried up to the third heaven, the abode of God. Okay, but now, you see, this is the place where God is bringing us into today. That you and I walk in complete deliverance, set free of the works of the devil, the works of the flesh, and mind your life. That we'll see our bodies being brought into total redemption under God. There is a body salvation that brings you with the redemption of your body. I know people preach rapture there, but study the book. Read the book. No wonder Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth, or rightly handling the word of truth. But brother and sister, they're waiting for the redemption to hit of mind and your body. Coming in total redemption unto God. That there'll be no more sickness, there'll be no more death, no more lies, no more hatred. Because why? We're working unto a never-ending day of the Lord. Come on. Doesn't it say in Revelation 21 that there is no night there? And no more death? No more curse? And the river of God is clear as crystal? Come on. The never-ending day of the Lord is for that we're working for today. But brother, there's much make ready to take place in mine and your life now. Hallelujah. But brother and sister, don't go blaming like your demonic nature does. Oh, it's my wife. It's the one that's sitting next to me. If they didn't have to wear that color of dress, I could have really handled the service this morning. Come on. I know people would lose every bit of their religion if you walked in the church, the sanctuary with a pair of pants on. Come on. God deliver us from these things. That we can walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, and have our being in the Spirit.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.